The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As the face of the NBA, LeBron James, usually an open book on most subjects, but he has made it clear he plans to keep his decision regarding whether he will get the COVID-19 vaccination private. During All-Star Weekend, he told reporters, quote, "That's a conversation that my family and I will have. Pretty much keep that to a private thing. Obviously, I saw Adam had his comments about the vaccination, but things like that, when you decide to do something, that's a conversation between you and your family and not for everybody. I'll keep it that way." So here's what Stephen A. had to say in reaction to LeBron's comments on the show yesterday.
"I want to make sure that I let the world know that I have decided. I had the same apprehensions as LeBron James, particularly believing that it was a private matter. I have changed my mind. Not only am I taking the vaccine, I will take it today. If you look at COVID-19, this coronavirus pandemic, it has clearly disproportionately affected the African-American community. To make sure that you're not ravaged by the ultimate effects of COVID-19 taking over your body. And more importantly than that, you have an obligation to make sure that you articulate that the risks are far outweighed by the risk that can come your way if you do not get vaccinated."
And Stephen A. using his platform to send a message. Just yesterday, true to his word, our very own Stephen A. Smith got his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Now Stephen A. and Max, they will be back on the show tomorrow. So Chinee, what is your reaction to really the debate whether getting your COVID-19 vaccination and LeBron James saying he wants to keep it private? Should it be private or should it be made public?
First and foremost, I want to salute Stephen A. Smith, who really, you know, did a courageous thing in not only, you know, expressing his own truth, but then also following through on that, and then also, you know, being one of those people that are taking it publicly to try to ease some of those apprehensions amongst our community, the Black community. And he's someone that I always say, like, you know, he's Stephen A., I may be Chinee, but I'm going to try to come correct on everything like him. He sets such a high standard. And I think on this issue, we all know when it comes to LeBron James, you know, he carries a really heavy burden of pressure, both on and off the court. And we already know this when it comes to his performances, how we scrutinize those, especially late in games and, you know, in the postseason, based on how he has been able to chase the greatest of all time title, right? But we all know that that really spills to off the court as well. And LeBron James is really unique where he's positioned in the game, being a guy that has been at the intersection of both sports and society. And his platform using technology based on, like, the, you know, 2020 and, you know, when he came into the league, his platform is bigger than anyone else's because guess what? He built it that way. And I think that's a lot of the pressure that he sort of feels to sort of have to address this, you know, publicly. And we all know that his opinion really carries an unbelievable amount of influence, right? But that doesn't really mean that certain things, you know, should be made public, that everything has to be public, especially when it comes to this vaccine. I know that, you know, LeBron James, he has to plan to be extremely careful in what he says and how he says it and when he says it, you know, especially when it comes to issues that are so important, something that has such great urgency, because we know that coronavirus is disproportionately affecting Black and brown communities. And so this is very important. When he speaks, we listen. So, you know, hearing these things, I'm not surprised just by him taking it a little bit more privately. Again, the NBA is 75% Black, and there is a real apprehension about receiving the vaccine. And this is consistent, though, with the representation that we are sort of fighting for in all industries, not just the medical field. There is history within our country of reasons for us to be apprehensive about it. But I think that's why education really matters. And that's exactly why, you know, as a member of the WNBPA, our Players Association, we sort of go through the same things that the NBPA is doing. But our Players Association, we've meticulously gone through the process of trying to educate our players on the role that the vaccine has right now in fighting the pandemic so that we can make informed decisions, you know, individually, but also collectively trying to help one another, right? And this is where I think the NBA really has suffered in their, you know, two seasons. I always said the NBA season is like two seasons wrapped in one, you know, because they had 71 days in between seasons. And so a lot of the conversations that we had when we wrapped our season on a similar timeline, we have 5 months to sit and had like over four Zooms, bringing in doctors that look like us to have these conversations so that we can ask them exactly what's going on. But with 71 days in between seasons, it's hard to really nail down all the players and sort of say, hey, during this time while you're traveling, and we all know what the second half of the NBA schedule really looks like, it's hard to get everyone on the same page. And that's why this is something that I'm not surprised that LeBron James is a little bit more patient on educating himself and also just keeping it more private. And I think it all, like, you know, it all comes back to education for me, because, you know, you have to educate yourself so that you can educate others. And that's exactly what LeBron James has done with every decision. And if it's private, then maybe he feels like it's not his position. Again, it's to each individual, no matter, you know, their stature, to make such a decision. But, you know, for me personally, I have a little sister who is in her first year in medical school, and we are so proud of her. Also proud of my other little sister who's about to finish business school. Uh-huh. But she, you know, transitioned to medical school in the middle of the pandemic, right? She, you know, as a part of the students, they all had to get vaccinated because that is part of the process, knowing that you're taking care of other, you know, other people. And so she personally made it her mission to educate us and our family about the vaccine. And I will take the vaccine when I can, right? And based on the education that I received and my comfort level. But I understand that this is every individual's purview, and hopefully everyone will do their homework before making an informed decision. But I really do salute Stephen A. Smith for using his platform to really show that this matters. First of all, we're all apprehensive in this time. We're in a very unique time in this country. But, you know, making sure that we take care of one another has always been one of the pillars that I'm all about. And this is something I've learned about sports, right? Like, you care about the last person on the bench as much as you care about yourself. And that energy is what, you know, sort of, and plus, you know, the help of my little sister as well, holding it down for our family, has helped me have the confidence to take it once my age group is allowed.
Yeah, Jenae, everything you said, you know, I wholeheartedly agree. You know, last week I hosted a webinar with Dr. Patrice Harris, former president of the American Medical Association, and the topic of the webinar was COVID and the vaccine and Black and brown communities. Because as Stephen A. mentioned on the show previously, this affects us at a disproportionate rate. But what is also troubling for Black and brown communities is the fact that we're not getting vaccinated as quickly as some other people. So, you know, this is such a huge, important decision for every American, and particularly people that look like us, right? But when I heard this question, yep, when it was posed, you know, in our production meeting, my first thought, I'm torn on it, because my first thought was like, man, can we let LeBron live? Like, just for a second. All he said was, this is a private matter. Now, he has been out front, outspoken on so many things, so many times. Because we as media have asked, and or because he has voluntarily shared his thoughts on things. LeBron, in just the past couple years, has been told to shut up and dribble. Hey, come on, like, help rock the vote, fight voter suppression. Hey, LeBron, you know, yep, help these kids with your charter school. Like, at some point, again, his voice carries so much weight. But I feel like the idea that we're wondering, like, should LeBron should actually use his platform to tell people da-da-da-da. I feel like that's what, you know, I'm torn on it. Because, again, hosting that webinar, you know, what Dr. Harris and I talked about was how people in our community are skeptical because there's history to back it up. These aren't just unfounded fears. There's American history that is rooted in our distrust in the system, the medical, you know what I mean? Like, that's real stuff. However, the same way Stephen A. talked about, I was hesitant, I had reservations just like LeBron, but I've changed my mind. Who's to say LeBron, I don't know LeBron James, I don't profess to know what he plans on doing. All I know is he said it's a private matter. So who knows whether he will take it or not, but if he does, maybe he'll come out and tell us. and his voice will carry weight. But the idea that we have to then judge him not speaking up on something the minute we want him to, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's going to be his personal decision, and as it will be for every single player in the NBA. Adam Silver has already said he believes most NBA players will wind up getting the vaccine per their personal choice, but it is not going to be a requirement.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Such an inspiration, and we are celebrating Women's History Month by keeping the celebration going. This is a First Take, Her Take Over. And ladies, I got an important question for you. And Kimberly, I'm going to start with you. Now, lots of very amazing, inspirational female athletes out there, but who is on your Mount Rushmore of Lady Goats?
Lady Goats. This one was hard. Okay, so let me know what you think. So I got Serena Williams because, hello, goat. Simone Biles. Listen, who's more decorated? Who's the most decorated American gymnast?
Nobody.
Simone Biles. Like that. Okay, Novak. Okay, anyway. Now, and I tried to stay away from, because in my head I was like picking all these basketball players and stuff, but Jackie Joyner Kersee, I love FloJo, right? I love FloJo and the nails and all that, but Jackie Joyner Kersee, like talk about gold medals, like six Olympic medals, period. You know, she was a beast. And the last one, so I wonder what Janae will feel about this one, because I got Cheryl Miller on my Lady Mount Rushmore. You know why? Because I understand the one knock on her is who her brother is, because as a Knicks fan growing up, I'm still upset at Reggie Miller for pushing Greg Anthony. Don't think I forgot. All these years, I haven't forgotten. But Cheryl is a beast. You want international medals? She's got it. You want, like, best college player of her era? Like, if had it not been for some knee injuries, you know, who knows what her career would have been. I think the only knock on her besides Reggie is the fact that her career wasn't as long as we would have loved it to be. And a lot of people, oh, Cheryl Miller. If you don't know Cheryl Miller, look her up. I mean,
yes.
She's, you talk about pioneer, trailblazer. Like, a lot of women look to her and were able to carry that figurative baton because of Cheryl.
Look, I am extremely grateful for Cheryl Miller. Like, when I talk to people that know hoops, like, who was the greatest? And when people say Cheryl Miller, I'm like, oh, you know hoops. You really know hoops. Two-time NCAA champion, 3-time Naismith Player of the Year. Okay, that's amazing. But two of the women on your list I have to shout out, Jackie Joyner Kersee, y'all know, because if you follow our First Take, Her Take podcast, which you guys can see anywhere you get your podcast, it's really great because I talked about, you know, not too long ago getting to chat with her, and that was really special just because what she meant for the game and how fierce she was, especially as an Olympian, six-time, you know, Olympic medalist. But my list looked a little different, just a little bit, just a tiny bit. So, of course, I've got to start with Serena Williams, of course, on my list as one of the greatest of all time, period. Not even just women on the list. I was really rooting for her, you know, in the Australian Open, trying to get number 24 on Margaret Court, you know, the court there, Margaret Court's court. I was rooting for her, but hey, we still got Naomi. I'm hyped for that. This is where I put Lisa Leslie, though. Lisa Leslie, three-time WNBA MVP, two-time WNBA champion. I mean, very collegiately, you know, successful, talking about those USC roots, herself included. And I just picked Lisa just because she's very similar to Michael Jordan to me. Like, at that intersection of where the game was transitioning to what we see right now, the first woman to dunk, her success in the 1996 Olympics helped catapult and spearhead the start of the WNBA in 97, which, mind you, now this season we're about to approach our 25th anniversary, which is really special. Simone Biles is, of course, on my list because clearly, you know, she's like already the most decorated gymnast ever, and she still has more to go. But lastly, I added Mia Hamm just because when it came to soccer, and I believe it was in 1999, she's a two-time FIFA World Player of the Year. And that sort of ignited our love for, you know, football. And I say football because I'm Nigerian-American and that's what we call it in my house, but soccer, right? And you can see that dominance trickle all the way to today with the U.S. Women's National Team. So my list, Serena, Lisa Leslie, Mia Hamm, and Simone Biles.
All right, those are some good lists. And also, ladies, you all know that we share some commonalities in our Mount Rushmore of lady broadcast goats. And on that note, everybody, I want to encourage you to listen to the latest episode of First Take, Her Take, because guess what? One of the goats joins us. Yes, we have Robin Roberts on to talk about the advice that she would give her younger self, plus so much more. She was incredible. You can get this wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
And our next guest, three-time All-Star 2017 NBA Defensive Player of the Year, three-time champ, Mr. Draymond Green, joining us on behalf of Subway. I hope you're doing well today. First question for you, we are going to talk some ball, but we've been talking a lot about the COVID-19 vaccination. What are your plans as far as getting the vaccine?
My plans on getting the vaccine. I've kind of gone through the whole song and dance just like everyone else. So do I get the vaccine? Do I not get the vaccine? You kind of hear all the negative things about it. You got your group of people who hear the positive, you know, who's speaking the positives about it, and just kind of trying to figure that out. Quite frankly, right now, I am not eligible, you know, so I think, you know, as I continue to, learn more, which I think the most important thing has been for me is just educating myself on this vaccine. What does the vaccine do? Is it just like any other vaccine, you know, or is it not? You know, so I've just been trying to educate myself on it. And being that I am not in a window of, you know, or I'm not in a position, you know, I don't fit the qualifications to even get the vaccine yet. You know, I haven't felt like that's a decision I need to have needed to make yet. I've just been educating myself on the vaccine.
Yeah, have to totally agree. Education is key when it comes to making that personal decision. But I'm really excited to talk to Day-Day, Draymond Green, because most people don't know that Day-Day and I go way back. I think it was, what, World University Games, when you were probably playing tight end for Michigan State then, too? I don't know if it was that
Times have changed.
It's definitely that
Times
far
have fully
back.
Changed.
World University Games. What was that? I think, man, that was after my junior year of college, so 2017 maybe? No, I mean, not 2011.
Yeah, a little too recent.
11, somewhere in between there, after 2010. Somewhere around there,
yeah.
But we became fast friends then. And ever since then, absolutely. I've been really proud of you because, you know, going to Stanford, being in the Bay, and seeing you just grind your way all the way to the top of the league, being an important cog in that machine, making things go, it's been really great, Day-Day. And now he's coming for all of our jobs here. Nobody's safe at ESPN, doing an excellent job on the broadcast, okay? But what I will ask you is that, you know, we're coming off of NBA All-Star night. I'm so used to saying weekend, but we're coming off an NBA All-Star. Your boy, Steph Curry, had the shot going. He won the three-point contest, almost got MVP of the game for Team LeBron. What did you think of Steph's performance overall on that night?
I thought his performance on that night was very indicative of who Steph has shown he is this entire season. You know, starting off the season, there were so many questions about, Steph doesn't get the easy shots he used to get. You know, he don't have all those guys out there with him anymore. You know, and he can't do it. And, you know, he's responded to all of those critics in a major way. You know, I think the thing that bothers me most is people questioning his legacy at the beginning of this season. You know, one season doesn't make a legacy, nor does one game make a legacy. And we see that a lot of times when you start talking about the greats like Steph, LeBron James, of people trying to hang their legacy off, you know, on one season or one game. And I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever. It goes to show how few legacies there truly are and why people don't understand what a legacy really is. And so the way he showed up and showed out on Sunday night at All-Star Sunday in Atlanta, winning the three-point contest in the fashion that he did, going out there and kind of jump-starting, you know, the All-Star game, you know, getting the energy in there. That's who Steph is, though. You know, he brings the energy to the gym. And so I thought it was amazing. And like I said, it was very indicative of what Steph Curry is showing and saying to the world this year.
All right, so a little bit of momentum heading into the second half of the season. Now the Warriors half a game out of a playoff spot. How confident are you that you will be able to make the playoffs when it's all said and done?
Very confident. You know, I know what the ceiling of this team is. Very young team, but we continue to grow. I think this team has shown at times that we're much better than 19 and 18. You know, and there's been several games now that, where I think, you know, we've kind of let get away from us. And that's, you know, that's usually the indication of a young, inexperienced team. You know, now you're coming out of the second half. You know, rookies are no longer allowed to be rookies. So, you know, we have a stud in James Wiseman where, you know, you get those rookie mistakes in the first half and everybody's like, okay, not so much in the second half. You know, it's time to turn it up and make that playoff push and continue to get better and understand what it's going to take to win in the playoffs once you reach the playoffs. And so I think, you know, this team is nowhere near the ceiling of what this team could end up being. And I'm looking forward to coming out of this break rolling and continuing to grow with the guys.
And you talk about the West because it is stacked. I mean, the Utah Jazz with the best record. Phoenix has snuck their way to number two. You've got the two LA teams, too. And then you still got Denver, who got a lot of experience last year in the bubble. The West is loaded again this season. Which team do you really think is the team to beat right now out there?
Well, the team to beat is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're defending champions. I know, you know, we live in this, you know, social media day and age where, you know, a team lose two or three games in a row and we want to write them off. That's the topic of discussion. Can they do it again they're the team to beat, and they will be the team. No disrespect to Utah, but they can win 40 games in a row. You're not the team to beat until you're the champion. And the Lakers are the defending champion. That's no disrespect to, like I said, Utah. That's no disrespect to Brooklyn or whoever else. I think there are a lot of good teams, very good teams, including those two teams I just named. But the Lakers are the defending champion, so they're the team to beat until someone can dethrone them.
Well, let's talk about Brooklyn because they are the hot team in the East. And our very own Max Kellerman said the Big Three are the greatest offense in the history of basketball. What's your reaction to that?
I think when you look at those three guys, Kyrie, who's probably one of the shiftiest players we've ever seen in the NBA, one of the best handlers we've ever seen, and one of the best finishers we've ever seen around the rim. I would love to say he's one of the best finishers for a guy under 6'3", or, you know, whatever stats we all come up with, these crazy stats. But the reality is Kyrie Irving's one of the best finishers around the rim ever. And then you got, KD, who, I've had the pleasure of playing with for a few years, best scorer I've ever seen. And James Harden, who's scoring at a clip like we've never seen in the NBA before over the last 5-6 years. When you stack up those three guys, that's a lot of offense. And they're showing that it can work. Now, granted, we've only seen, KD with those two guys once or twice. But it looked dang good when he was out there. So are they the best offense, to ever suit up and play together? I don't know. I think that's a very subjective thing that, I'll let everyone else discuss. What I do know is those three guys, they're good as scorers as anybody in our league today. Individually,
and
by the way.
And what you also know is you've got three rings.
Yeah, we know this.
you're right. Individually, and their talent's better than most, okay? I'm going to say it for you, okay, Trayvon? Now, one thing I love is that you are outspoken, not only, on the court, but also off the court, and that's trickled down to Twitter. I see what you're doing on the Twitter sphere. And you mentioned Kyrie Irving being, really shifty, right? And you also saluted a LaMelo Ball. You said he was a problem. Obviously, I sort of have him already as Rookie of the Year for what he's been able to do. But what kind of problem is LaMelo for his opponents, especially in the East, transitioning to the NBA so well?
His transition, I must be completely honest. My mom and I talk basketball all the time. And she loved you, by the way. I hadn't had a chance to really see LaMelo play much. Obviously, he was in Australia. He was in high school. I'm not really one to follow a ton of high school kids unless I personally know them or they're going to Michigan State. So I didn't really see LaMelo play a lot. And my mom would call me early in the year like, LaMelo good. And I'm like, man, he putting up stats, but a lot of people put up stats. I'm not sure I believe the stats, I hadn't really watched him play. And as I've watched him play, my goodness, I text my mom not long ago. I said, Mom, you was right. LaMelo is a problem. he's a problem, Mom. But I love his game. He's super fast, which I had no clue he's fast and downhill like that. He's extremely smart. And, he don't even know how to play the NBA game yet. He just out there playing, he's like a little kid in the candy store, just out there playing, having fun. But he's very smart. He passed the ball with the best of them already. And he's 6'7". He has incredible size. I think Charlotte, MJ got this one right. I think that's... that kid is going to be a stud. You're speaking Rookie of the Year. I love Melo's game and what he's doing. I'm riding with mine to the death, so I got to roll with James. And I think as James get back out there over the course of this next half of the season, he'll get back to the top of that rookie ladder like he was at the beginning. But, no, LaMelo is a problem. Ant-Man as well. Those three right there, Ant-Man, LaMelo, and James. It's going to be a hell of a class as these guys continue to get their career rolling.
You know what else might be a problem when Klay Thompson returns? Your Splash brother, how confident are you the Warriors can win another chip once he gets back on the court?
Very confident. It still hasn't truly been proven that, us three can be beat, you know, in a seven game series where we all play and, you know, we're not 22 and 23 and 24 years old. That hasn't been proven yet. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, we miss Clay. You know, everybody missed the shooting, but what he just brings on the court as far as his tenacity, you know, just the attitude that he brings, one of the toughest guys I've ever played with. You know, we all talk about light-skinned guys, and, you know, Drake has kind of made the light-skinned guy thing, you know, where the lover boy and all of that stuff. And so you just, Drake is such a icon that we associate all light-skinned guys with the lover boy stuff that Drake be talking about.
I'm still a...
And you know, light skin, but I'm still, I can't say that, but, you know, one of the toughest guys I've ever been around, you know, and I'm looking forward to having him back out there on the court next to us.
Okay, Draymond, you partnered with Subway. You have a sub named after you now, the Draymond sub. I want to hear about it. What's in it?
It's steak. It's provolone, and it's Southwest Chipotle sauce, you know, so... I love the sub. It's great. You know, and then, you know, there's kind of been this battle with Jason sub, as we see here on the screen, which I quite frankly think is ridiculous. Like, his sub doesn't compare. And personally, you know, Jason sub, as he wanted to make known, has bacon. I don't eat bacon. I don't eat pork. So anybody who's eating Jason sub, they can have it. But, you know, my sub's the best. And, you know, however, if whoever wants to share their favorite sub, it could possibly be not be either one of our subs. You know, there's a billion subs at Subway, you know, so, but they can also share.
I'm a cold cut Creole girl.
See, and that's the thing. And I got no issues with that. When I used to eat pork, I was actually a cold cut Creole as well, you know, but they can share their sub at hashtag on Instagram or Twitter, hashtag my Subway sub. You know, so come let me know what their favorite subs are. But I got to roll with mine. I think it's
I mean, I think we're going to do a taste test now. The lady's a first take, her take. I think it's time for a taste test. Will it be Draymond sub? Will it be Jason sub? We will let the world know which one is better. How about that?
Well, I hope y'all going with me. Y'all, go with my sub.
We will.
That's important.
All right, Draymond, well, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. Good luck in the second half of the season.
Good luck, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Jeanette.
First Take is brought to you by Subway. For a limited time only, fans who purchase a footlong online or through the Subway app can score 50% off a second footlong with promo code BOGO50.
All right, a video surfaced Tuesday in which Miami Heat's Myers Leonard can be heard using an anti-Semitic slur during a video game live stream. Leonard has since issued an apology, and the Heat organization has also issued a statement condemning Leonard's actions in any form of hate speech. All right, we got the crew joining us back here. We have Kimberly A. Martin, Marcus Spears. Now, Chinay, moving forward, how do you believe that the NBA should punish Leonard for his actions?
Well, I think they've already, you know, started with the first step, you know, he having an indefinite leave from the team. Mind you that, you know, he's not playing currently based on shoulder surgery. But I think the big takeaway from this conversation, and it's something that we can take, you know, introspectively, is there's zero tolerance policy when it comes to hate speech, especially in public, but just period in life. And what Myers Leonard said, first and foremost, I had to go and educate myself so that I know that, you know, for it to even be in his lexicon was a little bit surprising considering I hadn't even heard of the word. But then now to go and make sure that, you know, you see the apology, are you going to keep that same energy in contrition with those you offended, you know, outside of just posting something on social media? And so, you know, this is something that I think we're all sort of opening new eyes to, especially after 2020, when it comes to the Black community, the white community, having these conversations, the Asian community, the Jewish community. How does our, you know, verbiage and just how we move affect one another? And this comes, you know, all, you know, bubbling to the surface with what he said. And it wasn't just, you know, the one community that was mentioned. I mean, just other words that he had surrounding what he said, you know, could have been used as, you know, sexist to some people that might be fans of the league, fans of his team, fans of himself. overall. And so I think they started down the right path, the NBA, with investigating first and foremost, making sure that there's an indefinite leave so that everyone that is affected, right, will have time to sit with their feelings, because everyone's feelings are valid when you experience something so profane, right? And then also now it's the act of contrition of making sure that you educate yourself as to why, even if you didn't know what you said was offensive, what you said still happened on your own time and on your own dime. And so making sure you go to every party involved and show genuine, you know, apologetic nature. And so, you know, this was something that caught me off guard yesterday. And this is something that, you know, we're having these conversations in the world of sports I never expected. But it is the reality of just conversations in real life, and now using the platform of this to share with people that hate speech, zero tolerance, period. And that's the standard that team should have, especially when it comes to their conduct. And it will be on the Miami Heat to deal with this moving forward.
I'm sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
No. Marcus, you're our guest today. You're with us, so you can go ahead. You can talk.
Not a chance. If you were supposed to roll, you roll. You roll, Kim.
All right, Kimberly, you're up.
Well, you know, if it's zero tolerance, right, what is a reasonable punishment? Because I don't see how you can be the owner of the Miami Heat, front office exec. I don't know how you can feel okay with what is said. Any player, any teammate. And the fact that he's not even on the court right now, I think it almost... That's what I want to see, because he's not, you can't just say, hey, we're going to sit him, you know, one game, we're going to do this. Like, that's not even an option right now. Are you going to fine him? You know, what tangible evidence are we going to see as far as him taking the next step and educating himself? Just saw on Twitter, Julian Edelman, he had tweeted at Myers Leonard. So we'll see if those two connect. You know, for that education session. But yeah, no, there's no place for that in any sport in our society. And it's clear that he knew, at the very least, he knew it was an offensive word. He knew that he used it in a negative way. So that off the bat, to me, that's a no-go.
Yeah, listen, it depends. Like, I like what Miami did. And for individuals that's trying to determine whether they want to forgive Myers Leonard or figure out if he actually knew what he was saying, I'm not here for all that. Like, we in 2021. Your education on how you should approach people, talk about things, words you should and shouldn't use should be at the forefront of your brain. Like, that is a moot point to me. For education, yes, I'm with it. As a part of your process of dealing with the consequences of you using words out of turn, words that are disrespectful, words describing a group of people that shouldn't exist in your vocabulary. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about free speech. We ain't talking about none of that. We're talking about words that are used to denigrate a segment of people. So the bottom line is, whatever the responsibility is for Myers Leonard to rectify or come to terms with what he did, but also use this time to educate himself and all of that. I'm just not here anymore for people talking about grown people making a mistake about words that they use. We are a generation. We are a generation of people with access to all the information we can possibly stand.
All the information.
Damn near too much information. So it's always when these situations arise, well, I didn't know that offended people the way it did. Or I didn't know the real term or the meaning of that word. That could be true. You know what it means when you don't know the meaning of it? Don't use the damn word.
Facts.
Right? Like, so
exactly.
It is simple for me. Myers Leonard needs to atone for his speech and how that affects a group of people, but it's also, he also needs to carry the responsibility of saying the word and not let it be off-put by saying, I didn't know that that would affect people like it has. So listen, we get on television, we talk when these things arrive. DeSean Jackson went through it. He went through learning and talking about this and understanding the pain and the things. So I agree, Myers Leonard should go through those same things. And I'm not a big cancel culture dude. Like, I don't believe that you can't be, some things can be rectified. Some things for Marcus, I'm speaking for me, I don't think you can come back from, or I'm not going to at least allow you in my mind to come back from it. I'll always look at you in a certain way when things like that arise. But the bottom line is, like, the excuse of I don't know or I didn't have an idea what that word meant, don't put that in y'all apologies when y'all say dumb stuff. Whoever is the next person to say something dumb.
Yeah, terrible excuse, and that is exactly what it is, an excuse. Okay, well, let's move on because, you know, it's not First Take if we don't have a GOAT conversation. Now, I want to hear from all of you on this, including you, Marcus. I want to talk about the GOATs, and I don't want to stick to one sport. I want to talk about all sports. These are Stephen A. and Max's list. I'm sure yours will be a little bit different, right. But Kimberly, let's start with you. Who's on your top five GOAT list in all sports?
Okay, here we go. MJ. Like, that for me, number one. And I'm that girl who had the dunk, the John Starks poster on her wall growing up, and I still loved MJ. Just because even if you hated him, even if you hated your team having to play him, you had to respect his game, right? Next. This is not in any particular order, so don't come at me on Twitter. Next, Tom Brady. Because even as old as Tom Brady is, he still walks around like he's that six-round pick. This man just came off a Super Bowl win, and you know what he's thinking about? How am I gonna get another one? And that's why he's the GOAT. Serena Williams. What more do I need to say? Now, here's where it gets interesting. I think Chanae will find this interesting. I have Babe Ruth. You know why? Because what other athlete has a curse named after him? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are that good that an entire franchise and a fan base is saying, like, Red Sox fans was like, we're cursed because we paid for that man to go play for the Yankees, then you gotta be all-time GOAT, right? And the last one, Wayne Gretzky. Now, I've covered some hockey in my day. It might not look like I have, but I have. And if your nickname is the Great One, you damn sure better be on the Mount Rushmore of athletes. So Wayne Gretzky, that dude, he was the man when he was 9 years old, and he grew up to become the greatest hockey player of all time. So that's my list. Well, you guys, Janae.
All right. That's a pretty solid list. That's a pretty good list. And, you know, being great is awesome. And I'm going to switch it up for mine a little bit. I'm going to start where you started, Kimberly. Obviously, Michael Jordan, the same way I gave props to Lisa Leslie not too long ago when we talked about our GOATs in the women's game. You know, being at the intersection of the game transitioning, that's MJ, so you have to be happy for that. Again, six finals, and, you know, LeBron James is chasing that standard, which has made this whole conversation super fun. I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali, I mean, the only three-time final heavyweight champion in boxing history, not just for what he did, you know, with his time as an athlete, but what he stood for and meant to our culture in a time that really needed him the most. And then, of course, I gotta agree with you on Tom Brady there. So this is, you know, you guys know I'm on Chanel Gold Jr. for Eastern on ESPN Radio. You guys like join that. Me here all the time. Marcus Spears coming through with the truth. Kimberly and Martin joining in. And so you guys know, I have been all in on football this year. You know, I'm from Texas, so it's sort of in my blood. And the fact that Tom Brady at age 43 has already 7 Super Bowls, and I'm looking at the way the NFC is set up, he can make a run again next year, which is wild. He's on the list. I have Tiger Woods. And I know, and Serena Williams are sort of the same type of argument for what they sort of did transforming the sport. I mean, obviously it was a scary time not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, dealing with the car crash, but we all were able to, you know, celebrate and rally behind what he has meant to the sport, knowing that we may not see much more, you know, in the future, but we're still rooting for him in his recovery. And the way he has been able to win from the child prodigy and then delivering, very similar in a way that we talk about LeBron James being that young kid from Akron that sort of has delivered and still is going. what Tiger Woods has done, you know, for the game of golf has just inspired so many. And then I think Serena was last on my list, right? And she did the same thing for tennis, but man, in a dominant fashion. And she sort of changed not just how we perceive, you know, athletes overall, but women, allowing them to be fierce and female and competitive. And she's still going as well, which is really fun. So rare that we get to see Tom Brady and Serena Williams still compete to this day. So we really have to appreciate that.
Yeah, I love both of y'all. Listen, we trending in the same direction. I have Ali, who I believe is the greatest of all time in any sport. So that's actually a separation for me when we have a GOAT conversation. To me, Ali is the GOAT of GOATs. All right, and then I have Serena, obviously. You guys have pointed it out, but I know, like the most impressive thing that I've seen Serena Williams do is continue to have a level of consistency in her play, even when she didn't win the championships or win the majors in what she competed in. And then let's not even get started about coming back from giving birth and balling the way she balled on the court.
Thank you.
And then Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is simple for me. Tom Brady forces his way into this conversation. He's won 7 Super Bowls. That's the hardest thing to do than any other person on my list. I'm telling y'all, and it's not because I'm a football guy. It's so many moving parts in order for you to win that many championships and have your type of imprint on it. Next, LeBron James for me. Like, if we encompassing everything, LeBron James, obviously, we know what he is on the court. And in no particular order, because I don't feel like arguing with people over this. But LeBron James has a school right now where kids are going. There's a college in Akron where they are going to school for free. We know about his athletic feats and accomplishments, and we really don't have a great appreciation for it because he's still in the middle of writing that story. And then MJ changed the landscape of how we view athletes. He was the first guy that crossed, to me, to popularity in a generation just before mine, but old enough to understand, where it was more than just basketball when you talked about Michael Jordan. It had so much more to do than 6 championships and what he had accomplished. Jordan is a thing of himself. So that's my all-time GOATs list.
Look at you putting both of them on the same list, LeBron and Michael Jordan. You don't want the smoke.
He doesn't want the smoke. He doesn't want to hear from anybody. What? He already said it. Do not come at Marcus today. He is not here for it.
I think all of you had really good lists.
But I think I personally, if I have to side with one person on here, it's all love, everybody. Chinee, you got my vote.
Yes!
Best GOAT list.
Let's go.
That's right. All right, well, this has been so much fun. This was the First Take, Her Take Over. Everybody, make sure you listen to the First Take, Her Take podcast. New episode dropped today. Robin Roberts was our very special guest.
First Take, Her Take.
Marcus, thanks for joining us, too. Everybody, this has been First Take. And don't forget tomorrow, Dr. Anthony Fauci joining the show to talk COVID-19 and sports. Thanks for being here with us.